CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor. Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College is here, and I interrupted the professor as he illustrated the troubles with climate, perhaps, but certainly the phenomenon associated with climate by some observers. That would be dengue fever, which comes at the end of a season, not at the beginning. And this is the unusual part of the spread of the cases. Brazil itself is said to be a hotspot, but it's spreading into Argentina. And leaf hooper, which I learn is an insect that infects the corn crop of Argentina. So all of this adds up to new burdens for the new president, Javier Milei, who is right now a salesman for Argentina. So much of a salesman that I find an article that lightened my heart from the Telegraph in London, Ambrose Pritchard Evans Pritchard, writing that this question, is Argentina the new Texas? Professor, this is a wonderful question because Texas is seen as a panacea of growth, of energy, of low taxes, and of anything goes. This reputation never has attached to Argentina in all the years I've heard stories of debt and influence peddling and most recently sinister behavior with regard to adversaries of the United States. I'm thinking of Tehran. However, Milei, is he the new Texas governor, Professor?
Well, there certainly is a bit of that flavor to it, John. And you really illustrated how Argentina is simultaneously going through this these issues of climate and crisis and hope really all at once. And it's really testament to the character of Argentina and the difference of the new government. But as you alluded to, there are some of these climate phenomena that, last year we saw record drought impeding the harvest in ways that added to the financial crisis that the previous government had faced. And this year, you see that the warming trend that has caused these very invasive species of bugs to get much farther north, has made some serious damage, maybe as much as one-fifth or one-sixth of the entire corn crop being lost this year to what you noted, the leafhoppers. And at the same time, because mosquitoes are able to get into areas that used to be a little bit colder, you're seeing in Argentina, like Brazil, record problems with dengue fever. But as you also alluded to, John, you have at the same time, of course, Argentina trying to wrestle through a process of grave fiscal and other difficulties. And so on the one hand, you have President Javier Milei coming in and using largely executive fiat to cut government cut some of the transfer payments to the provinces get the power of the old unions under control, cut something like half of the government ministries, involving eliminating 50,000 government jobs. But behind the scenes, there are also two issues, which is one, trying to make Argentina appear business friendly to attract businesses, and two, the vast amount of resources. And so what we see in Argentina is that those resources, while they've involved a lot of soy and other agricultural exports from places like the Pampas to China, they also increasingly in the north involve the export of lithium, which is fundamental to the production of lithium ion batteries. But one of the other areas that you see with Argentina's vast resource wealth is shale oil, not unlike you have in the U.S. Midwest. And so this is something that's been going on really for 10 to 20 years now. But the epicenter of the wealth of shale-related gas and to some extent oil that Argentina has is a field called Vaca Muerte. And slowly and silently over the years, and now fed by this new pro-business environment that Javier Milei is trying to encourage, the explosion of production of shale gas has gotten to the point where Brazil, which is needs a lot more gas than they have and that they can get from Bolivia, is looking to Argentina to get gas. You're looking to the export of this gas. And more broadly, when you add up these resource things all together, again, the soy and the mining, the lithium, the gas, you begin to see at least the possibility of a story of hope and transformation, which was one of the reasons why U.S. billionaire Elon Musk, for example, that was just visited in Texas by Javier Milei, talks about, you know, that he personally recommends investing in this new possible country. And so I think to the degree to which the spirit of Texas is the combination of resources and the fierce independence of the people making incredible things happen using human initiative, you're getting some of that same spirit represented by President Javier Milei. And again, some of this new business-friendly environment of how do we use these resources in just ways previously unseen. And so I think there is a story of hope in here with our Argentina, in the same way that there is with the vast spirit of the people of Texas.
Then there is the shadow of the immediate past. Buenos Aires, Reuters. Argentina has a new largest banknote, the 10,000 peso note, which is five times the size of the previous top bill, though still only worth around $10. As the South American country grapples with the world's highest inflation rate, that Reuters declares is still nearing 300%. 10,000 peso note, which of course reminds all of us of Europe in the 1930s before the catastrophes, and inflation is a government killer, guaranteed. The Malay government had a timeline. How are they doing on the timeline? How long has he got to reverse 10,000 peso before it's 20,000 peso?
There are reasons for hope, John, but things are still pretty dicey. So really on the macroeconomic areas, Malay is doing pretty well. Basically, inflation, which was already heading towards hyperinflation because of the previous government's policies of basically printing money. When Malay came in, part of his shock therapy is he had to devalue the currency, almost cut the value in half, which again caused the prices of everything that Argentina had to import to jump very, very quickly. And so the spike of inflation was in part artificial. It actually, because Malay has basically shut down the economy and spending, you're actually now seeing inflation get back down from 20 to 30% monthly rates to something under 10%. And so, ironically, the printing of these 10,000 peso notes, and there's actually a 20,000 peso note which is coming soon. But the real issue right now for Malay seems to be that although the macro numbers seem to be looking better, although there's a bit of a budget surplus now, things are looking good with the reactivation of the mining and agricultural sector. The real question is, can he hold on politically? And so there's stirrings that there have been major protests in Buenos Aires over his cutting of funding to public universities last week. Those strikes have continued. The labor unions are getting involved. There's some evidence that the Peronists are beginning to get more aggressive in terms of their own support to the protests. And so the question is, can Milei survive politically? And also, can Argentina begin to stimulate a climate of investment and a reactivation of the economy that you need to get beyond good macro numbers and have the IMF be happy with you and to actually get regular Argentines feel like, there are jobs, there's a way of making money. I think that the big question now is making real Argentines feel that there are jobs and prospects for hope there. And I think that's in the next 1 to 2 months really going to be a critical issue if Milei can get there.
Corina Milei, the president of Argentina's sister, a feature in the Financial Times in these last days, identifying her as, quote, the boss. The Corina Milei and her brother are very clear that they have a good working relationship. They were on the campaign trail together. However, the approach here by the Financial Times, London reporting, is the opposite of what Mr. Musk is saying. He says, invest in Argentina. But when the investor class reads this, they go, I don't know. Corina Milei is said to be the person most important to the president for his political apparatus because he has a very small party and they need a lot of networking. And his campaign previously and his presidency now. I like everything about her. And here's my selling point. Her previous endeavors included training as a baker and training as a tarot card reader. Now, the Financial Times presents that as odd. My reading of history of American presidencies is that they better be odd to survive the process. Andrew Jackson had two or three bullets in him when he got to the presidency. So there's lots of reason to doubt any leadership that's a complete turnover. However, You've also read of Karina, and I have no familiarity with how the South Americans and Central America's electorate approached the presidential palace. Is the fact that she was a baker and a tarot card reader and did not go to the Kennedy School, does this weigh on the voters? Does it undermine Milei's credibility?
Well, John, I mean, right now, it creates some long-term risks, and certainly in the kind of more elite parts of Argentina, especially those not favorable towards Milei, you get a little bit of a poo-pooing of her lack of this of a more elite education. But at the end of the day, Milei is a different type of politician for Argentina, navigating a very difficult path with, frankly, a lot of sharks. And my understanding is that Corina is not making the technical aspects of economic policy or foreign policy. She is somebody that her brother grew up with in a very difficult childhood. She's long been there for him. Again, this is Milei himself is not married. And so, she is somebody who Milei can trust, who basically fiercely protects her brother from all of the sharks around him. The fact that, she is a bit of a self-made woman in areas like, having her own business of, baking, I think says something about her kind of practicality and entrepreneurial spirit. And at the end of the day, Milei probably needs protecting from the sharks around him, and the degree to which she can be a stabilizing and protective influence, it's a good thing. What I suspect is that, if things start going south and more unusual aspects of Milei's, personal lifestyle. But right now, at the end of the day, when you're in a difficult situation, navigating things in a very lonely path like Milei is, you need somebody that you can, that can watch your back and you can trust with your life. And so I'd say good for Milei that Javier Milei, that he has that with his sister.
In my measure, you can't do better than being a baker. Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. We're looking at the New World Report, and now we're going to look at China in the New World Report, because there's a legal dispute in Peru that is an education about how China works, how the Americas have much to learn about defending themselves, and about a contract that's gone sideways. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.